All right.
Is that the shot that you want?
It's not the shot I want, but it's the shot we got. So the idea here.
That's the shot that you were hoping?
No, it's not quite. Well, oh, my dramatic turn shot.
Yeah.
Well, I've, for some reason, the webcam that's over my 1080p TV, it's not working.
And what it first, you're confirmed to be the next Bond villain. $1 million.
Unfortunately, Sandy is went to my parents' house this afternoon, so I don't have any furry thing to stroke in my lap. But so the what, like, I got this like new old webcam at the Grid. You know, they have, it's a Goodwill store, and it was $8 or $10 in the box. Mm-hmm. And it's not too bad, but it seems inconsistent. Like, it just, like, for some reason, I don't know. I've had to reboot my computer to get to connect and stuff before.
Yeah, you might just have to mess around with it. Yeah. They might be just, and then, certain things might be conflicting.
And then the webcam that's on top of my TV over there, that's the webcam that I always use. And now all of a sudden that one's not working. So the idea is that in this view, when I'm looking this way, you know, I've got that webcam coming on me. And then I can turn here. If that webcam was working, you would see behind me the PVMs and this new setup I have here. And so I'm going to be playing on the PVMs tonight, which is something I normally haven't really been able to do. I've got a microphone on a stand here. I'd like to come up with a more permanent solution, but for now, right. I think this will be fine. And it just so happens that a very nice viewer of the show back in December sent me a PSX. Mm-hmm. And the controller that came with it is kind of become my go-to PS2 controller. Because, I mean, it felt like it had never been used. And the cord is super long. So you can actually see it running all the way from my PS2 over there.
Really quick, we got a $5 donation. I assume like NZ, like that's like New Zealand maybe? New Zealand? Dollar
New Zealand from bucks.
Retro, yeah, from Retro Revolutions. It says, "Hey guys, first time joining the stream, looking forward to it." Retro Revolutions just completed a really awesome looking consoleized Lynx
system. That's very cool.
Yeah. So
has there been a video output? His channel. Has there been a video output for that previously, or
probably just using like the McWill? I mean, I think this has. It has HDMI and an RGB, I think, but it looks like the way he did it is crazy. It's kind of like this mini, like 2800 or 2600 Lynx or Atari, and but it's like small and like has like yellow like detailing on it. It's pretty sweet.
Nice. Well. Since we're late, I'm going to go ahead and switch to the gameplay view where, I can actually turn to be positioned, as intended. But Corey is, let me see if I can move. Corey.
And I'm all wrong here.
I can't see the chat from this view. I need to like get a monitor over here so that I can do that in the future. There's a few things with this app that aren't quite thought through yet, I guess. But, you know, we're working out the kinks. So...
It's okay. I'll watch it like a hawk. It's not switching your camera view.
Oh, that's fine. It's not supposed to.
Oh, right. Okay,
the
I
idea,
see.
Because it would
you're playing... Right.
I'm going to be facing this way. So...
Yeah.
It's fine.
No, it's a stream. My chiseled jaw, apparently. That's what 40 pounds does. Get through this. You can see my jawline a bit better.
All right. So this, I don't think we have really said so yet, but I'm working on, finally, after like over a year and a half, finally working on the Perfect Dark Zero video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obligated to do a video on all of the Rare games that came after Nintendo. And been sitting on this for a while. You and I played through the entire campaign and co-op Tuesday and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And since then I've been working on the script, and it's going to be interesting. It's not going to quite be what people expect, I think.
And I think that that's, like, before you kind of get into it, this is, I think it's very similar to what people can start to expect from, like, our game focus episodes probably going forward.
Yeah. It's using a game or a topic as a jumping off point for talking about a bunch of related things rather than just the one thing. So, right. Really, Perfect Dark Zero, this is looking to be about like a 23-minute video, believe it or not. But the first 11 minutes, the words Perfect Dark Zero are not said in succession. There's nothing about Perfect Dark Zero in the first half of the video, nearly.
Because the kind of the lead up to it is very interesting.
I think so. It basically is talking about every game that was directly spawned off of GoldenEye. So that would be GoldenEye, Perfect Dark Zero, but also Time Splitters 1, 2, and 3. And I know that Free Radical made other games, but I think in the video it makes sense why I stop at Time Splitters 3 or Time Splitters Future Perfect. Because when I booted up this game, I'm actually, sadly... I don't like doing this, but this is loaded off of the HD loader SD card in one of my PS2s. Cause I thought for sure I still had this game. I had it for GameCube back in the day, and I thought I held on to it, but I apparently just got rid of it at some point thinking, oh, Time Splitters Future Perfect is like the definitive one, you know, like Time Splitters 2 still didn't really have much of a story or anything. Time Splitters 3 like really went all in on story and it had great levels. I remember it being a whole lot of fun. And I was just like going to gloss over Time Splitters 2 in the script. Like I was just going to say like, oh, you know, they made a big advancement over Time Splitters 2, Time Splitters 1, but then Time Splitters Future Perfect is like, boom, so amazing. And then I played these games to refresh my memory, and holy crap, it is not what I expected. These games are so much better in retrospect than I feel they were at the time, because Time Splitters 2 just like is so a GoldenEye spiritual successor. And I knew that at the time, but it was not that many years past really at that point. And so it wasn't all that special. And it's like coming off of, you know, a few years after Perfect Dark, it's like, well, Perfect Dark is like kind of cooler than Time Splitters. You know, so even though it's like, the same thing I wanted, you know, it just didn't feel special. But now, like, all these years pass and they don't make games like this anymore. It's like, wow, this, like, feels so right. It's like, it's dual analog, but it's also, like, GoldenEye aiming mechanics and GoldenEye mission objectives. And it's just a very special game because it's probably the most modern example of that exact feel of the aiming and that exact mission structure. Mm-hmm. And then Time Splitters Future Perfect, which at the time I just thought of as a continuation. It's like, oh, this is more like kind of mostly linear-ish, and it's kind of just like guiding you along the action rather than like you've got these objectives in the level and you're kind of like, you know, going here and there and, you know, figuring out what to do. It's more in line with like Halo and other shooters of the day. So this game,
right?
Don't get me wrong, Future Perfect is I mean, for a game as old as it is, like it is still amazingly fun. But this is unique because I feel it's the most advanced game that closely adheres to the GoldenEye formula. So the reason I wanted to play it on stream, honestly, was because I was just like really taken with it. I just completely forgot how good it was. I just want to unlock a few more levels. Like I say, my save was on the GameCube, and I beat the game on GameCube. But I've only gained access to 3 levels, and I ended up writing about it.
You're just going to rebuy it at this point.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely rebuying it. Maybe the PS2 version, since I'm building up a save here. And also, the controller feels really good for it. Plus, I've got all the other games on PS2. I'm sure Future Perfect has a lot of frame drops. They all target 60 frames. All these games target 60 frames. But the Future Perfect has... It's pretty unstable, but still very fun. I'd be interested in maybe getting the Xbox version someday, but for now I'll probably get this on PS2. But anyway, I just wanted to unlock more levels because I thought I just wrote about the game more than I feel it deserves to have more than 3 levels shown in the video.
We got a $1.69 donation from Powder Keg saying you guys are the best. Thank you.
So the way this game is set up, you are going to different locations, different time periods. You're this Sergeant Cortez. He's the guy on the upper right on the loading screen there, but he's like assuming the form of people, other people from this historical era. These historical eras, and this is Notre Dame. Sergeant Cortez. That's the main hero of the second and third games. So each scenario is kind of like a little vignette. It's sort of its own self-contained story, and the time splitters, who are the bad guys in the series, they have taken these time crystals to these different locations, and Cortez is assuming the form of these other people. So he's this like jester lady right now for some reason. Time Splitters 3 is different, where you actually are playing as Cortez. Like, it's like tells a much more coherent story. So basically it's just an excuse to go like different time periods, have different sorts of scenarios. This is actually kind of more of a zombie level.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenarios, but it's just like they'll come back if you don't shoot the head off. You'll notice that the head rolls. let's check what the objectives are. I need to rescue 4 maidens. Get to the roof.
We got a $2 donation. A $2 R, I'm assuming. Maybe it's, I'm not sure what it is. Maybe ruble? Would that be right? From Desma, who says it's time to split.
And that's the in Time Splitters Future Perfect, it's kind of hilarious. Like at the end of every level, Cortez like really wants to say it's time to split, but then like everyone is like constantly reminding him how lame that is. It's like the best thing. I love it. I have it. I might try to squeeze a time to split in the video. I meant to, but I forgot to implement as of right now. But I should go back and do that.
So that'll be all thanks to you, Desmond.
Yeah, I hopefully I will remember following this stream, and I will immediately add a time to split in there. I did put in a hilarious scene where the villain is the villain meets up with his younger self, and he's trying to tell he tells him to like push the button on his time machine, but his younger self doesn't know how the time machine works, and so he's like doing this like ridiculously long laugh. and then he like looks at his younger self, he's like, oh, he doesn't know what button to push. It's just this really long laugh. He goes, see you in the future, suckers. It's I probably watched it like 10 times after I edited it in, and I couldn't stop laughing. Me and my roommate in college, like, quoted that line all the time. I kind of almost forgot about that, too.
There's a lot of talk in this about this game having great music. Is it, like, done by someone, like, pretty notable?
I'm not sure. I think Graham Norgate, maybe? I know Graham Norgate did the first, which he is, you know, he was one of the Rare composers. He left Rare to form Free Radical. I don't think he did all
of them.
He's
one of the Rare composers, like, most people, like, don't. He's, like, the one that people don't know the most,
probably. But he's actually one of my favorites. He did Blast Corps. Mm-hmm. You know, Greg Kirkhope is one of the most popular, but a lot of his, like, more goofy music, like, it's okay. Some of it I really like. You know, certain tracks in Banjo-Kazooie I really like and stuff. But on the whole, Ray Kirkhope is not one of my favorite Rare composers. Although he did do, I believe, most of GoldenEye, or at least half of GoldenEye. And I believe most of Perfect Dark, the first Perfect Dark. I don't think he did Perfect Dark Zero.
Coffee Lover 239 says that Graham Norgate did all three Time Splitters.
Oh, did he? Okay. I have the for Time Splitters 1, I have the Chinese level music, which I think is the best music in the game. Time Splitters 1 is actually really fun. It's very basic, but it's fun to play. This game, though, is, like, you know, much more advanced and you know, is on par in terms of, you know, there's a zombie movie. Oh, no.
Is that bad?
Something happened. You're gonna have to restart the level. There does seem to be, so far, one checkpoint per level. So,
okay.
It's different from GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, for sure.
I think it was Shogun Gino said that a lot of people liked that this game was shown in Shaun of the Dead. Apparently, they played this game in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, really?
It's been a long time since I've seen Shaun of the
Dead. That's cool.
Is that what they're playing in the shed out back at the end, maybe?
I mean, it makes sense supporting the British devs. But like, go on.
I was just gonna say, Dylan Piper says that Norgate and Grant Kirkhope worked together on GoldenEye. And then Norgate jumped ship and went with the rest of the guys.
Okay. So the other half of GoldenEye is Graham Norgate. Like, yeah, he's got his you know, it's interesting because there's, even though Rare, like, had a lot of composers over the years, like, I still feel like they sort of have, like, a familiar common sound in some ways. Although they're all different. I think Graham Norgate. My favorite Graham Norgate soundtrack is Blast Corps, though. It really stands out. And I think it might be one of the few that he did totally solo. Although, correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, it looks fun. I barely played the first one because it was like a launch game on the PS2.
Yeah, this level's obviously a little different because it's so much zombie stuff. There's a little zombie stuff in the first level. The first level is like, you know, you're at a dam in Russia, and you, like, go inside, and there's, like, a chemical facility. You know, so it's, like, very obviously, like, trying to play up the, you know, the GoldenEye nostalgia there. You know, but I think that was probably a smart move. Do I need to follow the maidens to make sure they, like, escape correctly? Well, there's no monsters that way, so she's probably fine.
Someone said that the Game Boy Color best version is what somebody says. Is there a Game Boy Color entry in this series?
Not to my knowledge.
Unless
he's talking about Perfect Dark, which I actually didn't bring up the Game Boy Color Perfect Dark script.
Re-record the whole thing.
I mean, I feel like, first of all, I used to have it. I don't have it anymore. But I didn't really like it. But I feel like it's not really relevant because it's not like, it's not a first-person shooter, and I'm only talking about the games that are, you know, in gameplay inspired by GoldenEye. And even though Time Splitters 3 kind of isn't, I'm still bringing it up because it's like, it's kind of the end of the line. And so it was then kind of up to Rare to send it off. And the question is, did they succeed or did they not?
Retro Revolution donated another $5 and says, thanks for the mention, guys. I will send you the Atari to have a look at when you're ready. It's off to PAX Australia.
Oh, well.
OSSC.
Oh, she's a McWill zombie RGB. From the beginning. Let's see. That's right. Okay, I was confused when I was playing this level the other night. I didn't mm-hmm. quite finish the level because I thought at the time I would still have had enough footage. And now I'm kind of like, I want more footage. Okay, she should be fine.
Well, thank you for the donation, Retro Revolutions. I'm excited to look at it. I had a Lynx as a kid. I've come very close to buying another one. Like, I think I did almost at Retro World. I really want a first generation one, though. And those ones seem to be a bit harder to come by.
Like, it feels so good because, like, you know, the auto aim feels like GoldenEye, but, like, you know, the stop,
the health bars are exactly,
oh yeah, good. yeah, but then, like, this, you know, the aiming reticule where you can do the more fine-tuned aiming, and it works really well while you're moving with the left stick. You can, like, kind of do a little drift that side over while you're aiming. Oh, it feels so much more right than I had any idea back in the day. Like, you know what? The first time I played this game, I probably set up the controls like the GoldenEye and Perfect Dark defaults, which was move forward, backward, and turn on the left stick, and then probably strafe on the right stick, strafe and look on the right stick, which obviously, you know, I mean, I know much better now, but at the time I was like very stubborn about, you know, GoldenEye style controls, and of course Metroid Prime controlled that way as well. You know, with turn on the left stick. So I probably played it that way, which is really not the way that I would certainly play a shooter now. And so now, like, playing this with the proper dual analog layout and stuff, it feels real good. Like, I'm just way into this game right now.
We got a $20, I assume, Mexican, what is it, peso? Mm-hmm. What's that, Mexican? Donation from Eddie Vanson. Says, hi there, guys. Greetings from Mexico. Eddie, are you familiar with Artemio Urbina, who also lives in Mexico? He is very popular there. He's very popular here in the U.S. as well. This old console said that a Time Splitters video is not complete without hippie James Bond ripoff Harry Tipper.
Oh, Harry Tipper is great.
He's in the Atom Smasher level.
Oh, in Time Splitters 2. Okay, well, I mean, I'll be sure to feature him in. I mean, I don't have any sound bites from him in the video. But,
Oh, the Hunchback's on your side.
Yeah.
That's awesome, but he's, like, got a shotgun. I mean, it seems like they're having fun.
Yeah. But... This is where I, This is where I failed. Either the Hunchback or the Maiden died. And I was like, oh, I probably got enough footage. And then I'm like, I wanted to write so much more about in the script because this is like probably the game I'm most excited to talk about in the script now. Because, I mean, you know, not that it's necessarily the best game. Well, it could be the best game in the video. It's possible. I mean, you know, it's just the GoldenEye and Perfect Dark haven't aged as well, but I still like them.
We got another 20 peso donation from Eddie Vansom, who says, of course, I actually did meet him on a fan fest. Artemio is one of, if not the nicest person on
in the
Earth.
Universe, yes, on Earth. Yeah.
Thank you for the donation. Dookie12 says the worst thing about this game is that there's no speed strafing like what's in GoldenEye and Perfect Dark.
Speed strafing?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. If you like strafe and move forward, you move faster. I mean, that sounds like more like a speedrunner complaint. I mean, the movement feels very balanced in this. But I can understand, like, if you were a speedrunner. Whoa!
Yeah. Gold Saturn 25 has a pretty good memory of this game.
Well, I don't, so this thing is... This portal demon is surprising me right now.
Gold Saturn said, I smuggled this on an overnight high school trip. We got caught in a hotel, but the teacher just ended up playing with us. That's fun.
I didn't play a ton of multiplayer in this. Like, I played a little with my cousin. But I was in college at the time, and I didn't, like, really get, like, a good, like... local multiplayer sort of group going. So like, you know, like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark was much heavier multiplayer for me, just because I was in high school, and you know, that was when I had a lot of my gaming friends accessible.
Yeah,
but
I wonder, you know, like, it's too bad that there's any possibility for like a remaster of this. I mean, I assume based on the, you know, there seems to be a lot of love for these games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I just did not know that I needed to appreciate this so much back in the day. And now it's like, it's very obvious to me, like, it's kind of amazing. Because I think a lot of people still like the feel of GoldenEye, and the structure too, obviously, and they don't really make games like this anymore. You know, one of John Linneman's favorite games of, I guess, last year was Prey, and he says, you know, a lot of these sort of more immersive type games, you know, have sort of the objective-based approach, you know, like Dishonored and stuff, but they, okay, so then, like, after you complete all your objectives, the time portal opens up, and then you can leave. And the beginning of Time Splitters Future Perfect starts with Cortez, like, arriving at the army headquarters with all the time crystals they collected in this game. But you don't, like, the story is, like, so sparse in this, you don't really need to play it to understand Future Perfect. Future Perfect is like the only game in the series that like really tries to have a story.
Yeah. People in the chat are saying that THQ Nordic has like just recently purchased the rights to this series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
who knows? I'd have to play it until I was sure that they, you know, really followed the spirit of the
right
of two, because Future Perfect is very different. Very good. Very good. Like I stayed up till like after 2 a.m. Like I played like just recording footage. I don't know.
And you were just like, I need to get my sleeping schedule back.
Yeah. But I played through like half the game just because it was like, I didn't want to stop playing. You know, very different from GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, but very good. Very good. Like, it's got in the first couple hours of the game, it's got this like moving train set piece level. This like, you know, it's not exactly Uncharted 2, but it's pretty dang impressive for, you know, a multi-platform game where they had to consider like the capabilities of every system. Like it's,
right,
it's crazy. Like they really pulled off a lot of stuff in these games, and you know, it's just, I mean, I know I keep saying it, but just looking back, it's so much more impressive than I realized. Like, you know, I always like kind of thought of these as like good, but kind of disposable action games of that generation. And the fact that they have aged as well as they have, because typically I feel like, I think that first person shooters are probably one of the genres that ages the least gracefully, but I mean, not here for sure. I mean, these are great.
You want to kind of explain for a second? I think that I saw somebody mention it way back at the beginning of the at the stream, saying like, "Oh, the deinterlacing looks weird on this." And this is because you're playing on the OSC.
That's
and
right.
Like, that's the Bob. That's the Bob deinterlacing.
Yeah, I don't. How do you say it? It conveys on the stream.
I mean, it looks okay. I think it looks in person. Like, it looks like. Like 480i looks on a CRT, and that's what I think is kind of cool about it. It might not like convert over to the stream like that accurately, but I mean, it does. It looks a little weird, but like not bad.
I feel like I don't really think about it anymore. Like just playing the games, I've gotten pretty used to it. So I feel like we're going to be making a habit of capturing with the OSSC for 480i stuff going forward. Maybe not always, but as a general rule, probably so.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting look, and it conveys better the feel of what
the intent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm playing right now on a PVM that's it's the M2 series. It's actually an Olympus branded one, but it's the same thing as a Sony tube.
It's a 600 PV line one. It's like
there's
40i stuff looks pretty good. So Phantom Knot says low res field rendering looks nasty with Bob being replaced. Saying, I bet Ridge Racer 5 looks super nasty with the OSSC. I could try it sometime. Oh, now you're fighting flying saucers. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it goes all over the place.
That's really good for variety. They could basically just do whatever they wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure that was the idea. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do here, though. Oh, there's a hole here.
There's a hole in the floor. James Abbott said. I don't know if it's still on. I don't think it was even a US show, but there was a game show called Hole in the Wall. Are you familiar with the you know, it's like kind of a, I don't know, like how to explain it. Like, you know, like a Double Dare type thing. where it's like, you know, they, it's called a hole in the wall. Like these people have like these walls come at them and they have different shapes cut out and they have to like get through the hole in the wall.
Was it like a kids game show or?
No, it's like adults. And it's just called Hole in the Wall.
That's something.
It was definitely on in the US for a moment. But I mean, I don't know if it's like an original. Oh, it was aired as a kids program. So then they made it. Yeah, don't Google Hole in the Wall. But I guess it was a kid show, and then maybe they just made it like they did some of it with adults. I don't know. It was a Japanese show first. Okay, that's what I was thinking.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Human rights.
Yes, it sounds like a most extreme elimination challenge segment, but it was an entire show based. Hole in the Wall. Like, what do we call this? Great idea. Well, let's just be as honest as we possibly can. For those asking, this is the PS2 version.
I used to have the GameCube. Although I don't think I would. I mean, I might rebuy the GameCube version out of nostalgia, but.
You're gonna buy this version too?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I was looking. The third one's actually kind of expensive.
You were saying
the Xbox version seems to be like the cheapest one. The GameCube, but
which
the,
is weird
because
it's
one
probably
is...
the best. Oh, there's guns over here. Duh.
When we do the Xbox video, we'll be cover soft modding. I say there's probably very good chance of us covering it. Because you can force a lot of stuff that way. What do we think of the Call of Duty series? I haven't played a single one since, I think, the first Modern Warfare is the first, like the last one I played. Also the only one.
I mean, it was
impressive at the time because it moved at 60 frames per second and it looked really crisp, I guess. But I didn't like how easily you could die. And I think that just made me not really have any interest in the game going forward or the series.
First-person shooters have never, like, been a staple genre for me. Like, GoldenEye was the first one I was particularly interested in. And, you know, that's why for a long time, like, this kind of game was all that I was really interested in playing. And I feel like that's part of the reason I didn't realize, like, how unique it was at the time. Because it was it was already similar to what I liked. So I, you know, didn't really realize just how different everything else was.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of later. Like, I feel like Half-Life 2, like, kind of increased a lot of my interest in other shooters, but it's always been, for me, kind of like something that has, like, either an interesting story or some kind of interesting core mechanic. There's kind of gotten me interested in most of the shooters that I've gotten into since, like, games like these. Like, you know, BioShock kind of has an interesting story and an interesting, like, mechanics. You know, it's like practically like guns plus magic, right? You know, so
yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to put it.
So you know,
For the people in the chat that don't know, Tri has never played any of the Halo games.
I haven't. Well, I mean, I've played, like, I've had my hand on the controller when Halo was, you know, running a demo in the store.
Right.
But I wouldn't call that playing, really.
We gotta co-op them. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think we could probably, if we co-op them, we could probably stream that. Okay. I think it might be a lot of fun to stream.
I mean, but, you know, when I say in the video that Time Splitters Future Perfect has a more Halo-like flow, you know, that's kind of based on how you have described the flow of Halo to me. Would people in the chat agree with that characterization, that Future Perfect kind of chases more after Halo? In the sense of how it flows? Like, the objectives really aren't the same kinds of objectives that you would get in this game, for example. That's my feel. Because it's more like it pops up and it's like kind of telling you what you need to do, like, at that exact moment, you know? Rather than like something you need to be aware of, like, throughout the level.
Bob Cornhole says, "Don't feel bad, Tri. Halo is a rare game." It's kind of pricey these days.
Really, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. No. I was going to
say. Definitely not.
Well, I mean, sometimes there's certain games that you would expect to like be, you would expect to be. What am I supposed to do here? Fight off the raid on the crashed UFO. Oh, I can't figure out if the UFO is like trying to help me or not.
I would probably agree that Halo 3 is probably the best one.
I feel like at the time it was like maybe some people were disappointed.
No, I don't think that most people were disappointed. I was kind of disappointed in the second one. Second one was the only one that I did not co-op because that was right after I moved to New York City, and I'd always co-op. Co-op the first one and then every single game since with my friend Justin. But I've never co-op the second one. And the second one kind of pulls a
plot twist Metal people Gear... don't want. Yeah.
Well, it's not that, it's just it pulls like a Metal Gear Solid 2. Meaning that you don't play as
who
the
you
main
want
character.
To play. Yeah.
Like the whole time, I mean you do some. It was like it's kind of split in half. And it kind of ends on a cliffhanger that's very obvious that the game was just like not done. But the third one is really, really good. And I had to capture some online multiplayer footage from me.
Yeah.
And I tried to like play like on a Xbox 360. I just like I logged in the matchmaking and it, like I sat there for about 20 minutes and could not match me up with more than two people. So I was able to download my clips from the file share on there, and I was able to find a multiplayer match where I did really awesome. So I just recorded that. I like removed like the, you know, like the time and stuff on there. And we got a $7 donation from Inmate 302. It says, "Yo guys, pretty cool game, huh?"
Indeed.
"I'm the dude from the other day. I wind up getting the white Japanese Saturn. I'll buy a Luma RGB cable as soon as it arrives. Shout outs from Chile." Thank you. And enjoy your Saturn.
I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to be doing. Can I destroy the guns? Like, I'm about to die, so I don't want to... I don't want to take these guns on head on. Well, I did get it.
But Halo 3 is really good. There's only one level that is just kind of not great in it.
See, I feel like Halo 3 was maybe... like, from a graphical standpoint, I feel like people were expecting more or something like that.
No, I think
really?
Everybody was happy with it.
See, my memory was like, people thought it was going to be like pushing the 360 harder or something like that.
I mean, it's there's a lot going on. I mean, it's I think it's a really, really good game, and everyone that I talked to really liked it. I mean, I played
That was just my impression at the time. I wasn't really clear.
But yeah, now 4 is like,
well, 4 is different. I mean, it's the first one by a new team.
Yes, but I mean, it's I don't know. I didn't like it. Looks really good. It's kind of very impressive graphically for the 360.
I feel like I remember people saying it was really good when it came out, but I think maybe opinions kind of split. You seem to not be as big of a fan of the ones that came after Bungie.
No, I definitely am not. I mean, I'll play through them just because, you know, I'm interested in the story, but especially with 5, like, I just wasn't
invested.
Like, well, it kind of ends on a kind of a, like, it's kind of a bummer, and I don't know. Like, I was under the impression that the I was under the impression that there's going to be a much larger time skip in between 3 and 4, because he kind of goes into this cryogenic sleep, and I imagined him floating through space for like a couple hundred years. Like, that would have been cool, but that's not what happened. ODST had a great campaign.
ODST is like kind of more open ended, right? It's kind of like I've heard ODST,
there's like a main hub, and you kind of you go to these checkpoints, and it shows you like flashbacks of different things that happen, and you play those flashbacks. It's pretty cool.
I've heard it compared to the Wolfenstein. I assume you haven't played it, but the Wolfenstein game that released that generation, I think it was just called Wolfenstein, where it's like kind of this open world, but then you like go into these individual levels.
Oh, okay.
It's a semi open
world. See, Retro Tech Select is in the chat, and he just did a great video on the iScan Pro, the DVD-O iScan Pro versus the what is it? The Retro Tank. And I was very, very curious of that, because I have an iScan Pro here, and it's kind of good. Like, I'm going to be using it to capture certain things from Laserdisc in the future. But I was really curious about like how it stacks up against the Retro Tank, and it's, yeah, it's exactly the video that I wanted to see when he came out with it, which I think he released it yesterday. Would we ever cover the Philips CDI? Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get one. But if you're really, really curious about CDI stuff, you should check out Wrestling with Gaming channel.
Yeah,
he's a big.
He was preaching the CDI to me at Retro One.
Yep.
I'm kind of going in circles, I think. Gotten lost.
You need to be on the upper level.
I definitely took a wrong turn somewhere. Oh, here's where the flies are.
Solid units. I'm very, very interested in the Mister that Smoke Monster's been talking about.
The Mister?
It's like an FPGA, like a Mist FPGA type thing, but it has all these really good cores for it.
Oh.
And Smoke Monster's been doing some videos and been talking about it a lot.
Oh,
it's a really good, like, MSX core and all this other stuff.
Am I supposed to get rid of that thing?
No. Neo Geo episode will definitely happen. And arcade boards and super guns, yes. What RGB episode can we expect next? I'm not sure. Maybe either. Gonna be next.
Maybe what?
We or Dreamcast are gonna be the next RGB 200.
Oh, you think Dreamcast is really gonna happen before PC Engine?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I think that finishing out like the Sega systems and the Nintendo systems might be, then we can start kind of tackling the side systems in a way. You know?
Not that they're side systems, but yeah, they're not. But they're the ones that weren't recurring.
Yes. So I kind of feel like that might be the best course of action. And besides, like PC Engine, I'm still like waiting on the materials and everything.
But we can get them.
We can. Supergun episode is something that we've wanted to do for a super long time. We have all the stuff that we shot a long time ago. And I think that just the overall scene of Superguns has changed so dramatically since then that I'm glad that we didn't release it when we shot it. Just because there's so many good super guns coming out, and like there's like the Haz is really good, and the Sentinel looks really promising. Like those are ones that I think are just like better than the ones we would have shown. Oh, we got a $5 donation from Killpain8787. Said, just started collecting laser discs. Is there a laser disc player for under $200 you can recommend that does both sides? I'm not the right person for that question.
You want to be the right person one day.
Yes, I'd like to, but things that I want to do with it, I really kind of wanted an industrial level laser disc, and the one I was lent is one that's from like a museum, and it has like a BNC output on it.
Oh wow!
I watched the first side of my laser disc of 2001: A Space Odyssey. But the idea with that currently is to go out from that and into the DVD-O iScan Pro and have that go out to the OSS. But I'm not sure if that's exactly what I'm going to do yet. But I'm hoping to do a video game Laserdisc episode in the... it's hard to say when exactly it'll happen. I've wanted to do it for a while. Very much like the video game VHS episode. But I want to look at a whole bunch of laser discs that were released in Japan. You know, like Super Plays and stuff like that. Retro Graphics books, it's just the loner, though. So I've been given no determination of the amount of time I can keep it. I can't imagine that they're going to need it anytime soon, because apparently this was their backup. But it's not mine. What do we think about the Polymega? Brad, do you have any thoughts on the Polymega?
No, I really don't. I mean,
I'm interested to see what it's going to be like, but yeah,
we're going to be looking at one day, but I'm pretty indifferent. You know, it's really interesting to me because people seem very split. There's some people who are like, oh, you know, they faked the Saturn footage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other people who are like, the other group that's like, oh, it looks really interesting. Like, you guys are going to look at that, right? You know, so I'm pretty indifferent.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just have, like, so much stuff that we've been thinking about and, like, working on that it's hard to think, like, of anything, like, beyond that at this point. So, I mean, we haven't been contacted by them. I'm not sure if they're going to contact us. I know we've been tagged in tweets along like along with some other people. I mean, I'm certainly curious, and you know, if they were to send us one, we'd do a video on it. But I don't know. I'm just gonna wait and see. Any updates on Woozle's Game Boy Advance HDMI mod? Does it work with GBA SP? I don't know if we'd be the person to ask. Bob would probably have a better idea. Yeah. Have you been following pretty closely?
Not recently. I mean, I asked Bob not long ago, like, what the status was, but I don't think it would be compatible with an SP, because I think I assume it's probably designed pretty specifically for the original model, even then I'm not even sure if it would work with every original model, because I know that certain types of things can only be installed in certain types of Model 1s. Depending on if there's like certain numbers installed for battery bay. I forget which things I'm thinking about though. I wouldn't want to install something in an SP anyway. I mean, you know, original models are pretty cheap. And, I feel like original models, you know, don't have a lot of use, so why not mod them anyway?
Right. Did we hear from Retrobit on those forthcoming Bluetooth controllers? I sent them a message on Twitter, and I think that they wrote back and said they'll be in touch, like, when they're ready. But nothing since then. Badass Console, they did really just post a video the other day. I'm not sure if GBI HF and 360. I just saw the firmware update video that they posted. I'll take a look at it.
This is looking bad.
Oh, so he... No. Oh, it's okay, so... Man, Badass Console. So he just posted a video. It's a GC video direct mode, which is direct HDMI capture of GBI HF at 960 by 360 speed. I wonder if this is like exclusive to his though. Oh man, his.
Oh, there's the portal.
People are not happy in his comments, though. His...
What's the situation?
Just, like, he's been posting some videos on YouTube. Just, like, it looks like he did, like, a... there's a firmware update video that he did. It shows, like, how easy it is to update the firmware on his GC video.
His external?
Yeah, and also it looks like his firmware has like a GBI HF 960 by 360 P60 output over HDMI. Looks pretty nice, I suppose. But I'm just saying, like, his...
I'm gonna switch to easy just in the interest of unlocking as many levels as possible.
Yeah, well, you've beaten
I've beaten this before, so it doesn't even matter. I can do what I want. Actually, I meant to switch to easy at the beginning of the stream, but I forgot.
But I'm just saying, like, his the video has like 12 thumbs up and 20 thumbs down. I think it's just because people have been waiting for a while. Oh, another $2 donation from Retro Revolutions. Says, gotta go. Stream's cool. We'll be sure to watch more. Thank you for the donations and for hanging out.
I'm not sure which character here I'm going to be playing as. I mean, this game has pretty good cutscenes, but there's, like, no... not much context or cohesion to it. They're just like, the way I described it in the video is they're all like kind of disconnected vignettes. Even though you're supposed to be Cortez in the form of these people.
But you know what? Sometimes that's pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's like, yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. It's
tons of story, you know?
It is neat, but like, Time Splitters Future Perfect like is so fun with the story, like it's just it's a lot of fun. Oops. I realized I just shot a civilian.
Oh, whoops. So you have to start over no matter what when you do that,
I guess. Well I mean oh, follow the hacker to the research area. I thought I shot that character before. Okay. Clearly, I need to read the objectives before I do anything. follow the hacker to the research area and retrieve the time crystal as always.
You gotta follow her.
Yeah. I have no idea which character I am from that cutscene. This is a cool level, but the rain effect like makes everything kind of blurry, so I don't know if it'll make great video or not. But
well, it's got clear like the water like bubbles on the screen. Like it's where it's like hitting, and yeah, it makes me think of typical like rare effect, I guess. Mm.
Oh, I just like walked into that glass and got a bunch of guns. Like I just like slowly walked into it. That's
pretty funny. Oh yeah, that rain effect does make me think of Metal Gear Solid 2. That's right.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, that's actually pretty good. It like stops when I go.
When
under
we were
the...
in New York before Retro World, every single bridge that we saw, Tri was like, "Is this the bridge the Solid Snake jumps off of?"
That's like the only thing I care about in New York City.
Is this the one? No, that's the George Washington Bridge. That's like way.
Dang it. I don't know what happened. Just when I switch to easy mode, I start getting confused.
Retro Text Flex says that the alarm sound is total GoldenEye. I think that's the...
There's a part of the first level that is, like, very obviously meant to be based on... a little bit of the facility in GoldenEye, like the pathway is exactly the same.
This old console says make sure you have the scanner out for the first part of this mission to see the security cameras. See, yeah, that's like an objective base. I mean, you don't see that very often in the. You wouldn't see something like that in Halo, where you have like items to use.
Well, she saw me, so I doesn't say restart yet, but. May as well. Okay. Yeah, I actually haven't been using the scanner at all. Yeah, the rain effect does feel like Metal Gear Solid too. What's interesting is just like how few commands there are to button that. I can probably show you right here. Like, I only have activate and manual reload mapped to the face buttons. Like, it's simple, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we got a $5 donation from Dustin Kramer. He says, any idea why a PS2 with nice YPB PR cables will be coming through super dark on a CRT PVM? Y2 seems especially dark, like unplayable.
What seems dark?
PS2 with some nice component cables.
Looking
super dark on a CRT PVM.
If you're using component cables, then you definitely should you'll definitely need to sort of dial in manual settings a bit more, I'd say, than compared to RGB. You might need to brighten it up, but then if that ruins your black levels, I really don't know.
Corpse413 says you can play mini games of Snake and Asteroids on the scanner.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I'm curious what cables you're using. Do you know that monster cable components death grip can be solved if you twist? Yeah, look at the shape of the gold ends. They're like a screw end. Screw them backwards and they come out easy. I don't know. Like I kind of did that with my one and still pulled the connectors off.
People say that, but I always wonder, like, I don't know if that's really how they're meant to be used. I'm not sure. It's still kind of, I think, a design flaw. Obtain the hacker's password. So this is like clearly a much more sort of stealth level. Kill the hacker now?
It's kind of interesting because the death animations are certainly not as elaborate as the kind of stuff you'd see in. In GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. But the death animations in Perfect Dark Zero were.
Oh, gosh. You gotta see some of the stuff that I've got in there. I've got like. A 25-second clip, like when I'm talking about the ragdoll in Perfect Dark Zero, I've got like a 25-second continuous clip of this guy just like flying all over the place. It's so good. It's too bad there's not a checkpoint after you follow the hacker. Playing this on the PVM though is really making me think about how much I like the look of PS2 on on a PVM. Like, there's just something about it. But I like the look of the M2 for 480i more than the L5. For sure.
Yeah, I've definitely like come to appreciate how 480i looks.
So it's
funny though, thinking back, I remember thinking like, why after playing PS2 for a long time and playing Disgaea, mm-hmm. which is a 240p game, I'm like, why does it look so soft? Like, why does it look like this? Mm. I didn't understand. But I specifically remember thinking about
it. See, I didn't, you know, composite kind of has like a bit of a flicker to it. So I didn't understand, like I always thought of CRT TVs as, you know, having that flicker. So mm-hmm. I didn't really understand the difference when you know, Dreamcast came around. And I'm like, man, the games just look so much crisper. And I'm like, it's higher resolution, but I just like never thought like, I just never really thought about why.
I don't know. Hey, let me grab something in Burbank.
Things still going right on the stream. Yeah. I definitely need to get a monitor over here on this side. So I can actually pay attention to the chat and stuff.
What?
I said I definitely need to can I obtain the hacker's password from this camera feed maybe?
So I'm pretty excited about this that I got brand new today. And it sealed. This is going to be a fun entry in our third-party controllers series of episodes coming up here. So I can like open it up and unbox it for the first time in that episode. And that is a... Let's see if I can... It's a TurboTouch 360 controller for the Genesis. I don't know if I'm going the right way or not. Maybe that way. Look at that. It's sealed.
I wish I had captured footage of me opening up my Perfect Dark Zero a couple of years ago. Because I mentioned in the video, like, the line where I say, it must surely say something about the game's popularity that I was able to get a new sealed collector's limited edition steelbook for $11 shipped 11 years after release. Like it was on Amazon.
I mean, that's cool and everything, but this was only $10.
Oh, well, actually it was only $7.20, but there was shipping costs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is only $10, like 26 years after it came out. So it's been sitting in its package for 26 years, waiting for me to open it. It's destiny. It's destiny was to be opened up and revealed bare to the world. And an audience on My Life in Gaming. It was its destiny. I'm not gonna break the seal now. I gotta be able to record it. But it does, you know, you can just pass your finger over the sensor, and so you don't get. So there's gonna be no more finger fatigue or blisters. No more finger fatigue or blisters in my future. Why I'm playing the Genesis.
I feel like that thing's not taking damage.
This next thing that I bought, based specifically on Johnny Millennium, the Happy Console Gamers review, and I had some Best Buy credit, and that is the Fist of the North Star, Lost Paradise, and I was excited and shocked to see that it came with some stickers that I have not been able to like stop laughing about since I got it. I apologize for the language. But it came with a sticker that just says shitballs with an exclamation point. I don't know what Hidabu says, Hidabu, what that means. Probably something is, maybe that's Japanese for shitballs. I don't know. But I think it's hilarious, and like I really want to put it on something, but at the same time, like I don't know like if it's like appropriate in day-to-day life. Maybe I'll put it on on our travel case with our lights in it. The game is supposedly, like, it looks awesome. I'm very excited to play it. I have Yakuza 0 in Yakuza Kiwami, the first one. And I would, I have not played them yet, but I kind of want to play this one first.
Oh.
But I saw his video about it. I was like, this looks awesome. And it comes with stickers that shitballs. Like, and there's that's worth $59.99 right there. I was pleasantly surprised to see that. I'm gonna put it on our Equinox on the family car on the back. It's like I almost don't want to put it on anything because, like, what if I make the wrong choice and then I don't have this sticker in it? I can't use it again. Like, I'd have to.
You can put it inside the case, like in the game case.
Well, it's in the case, right? But it's like. I want it to like be used for something, but I don't want to like make the wrong choice.
I hope I'm going the right way to the exit.
But it looks awesome. You know, it's kind of open world in a lot of ways.
Oh, there it is. What is that? Fairly short level once I stopped screwing up.
Neil, I have to admit that I am a little bit more excited about the shitballs sticker than I am about the Turbo Touch 360. Although I'm excited to never have finger fatigue again. At least when I'm playing games and the Genesis.
I'm excited that this super long PSX white controller reaches all the way from my PS2 to the PVMs. That's perfect. I mean, this rotating swivel chair is real good for PVM play. I think I'm going to use them a lot more.
And you can see the stream over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to have a controller like one of those. I mean, do they make ones you can just buy that are like official like that, that are not, that don't ship with PSXs?
I have no idea. Awesome. I mean, I think the reason it does that is I mean, for one, it was probably designed to be like using like a central home entertainment area. And the controller ports are actually on the back of the PSX system. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I guess they were accounting for that.
A lot of people are saying this is the, they really nailed the feel on this level.
Oh yeah? The feel of GoldenEye or?
Yeah, maybe. Mallory 101 says that this is their favorite level. Ooh. Music is awesome in this level too. I can kind of hear it. Oh yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2 is out like in 2 weeks or something like that,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh gosh, seriously? Is that close?
Yeah, apparently there's a PS4 Pro bundle as well.
Oh, are you thinking about it?
It's a little tempting.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's definitely like to me an Xbox One X.
But it feels a lot like it was developed as the PS4 being like the lead platform. Like that probably doesn't even matter
anymore.
Well,
I'm sure PS4, I mean, base PS4 is probably the lead platform for most games.
Yeah. JF Monster Boy was delayed until December 6th. FYI, if you didn't hear, if you're just hearing now, I'm sorry. I'm sad too, but apparently they had problems with the manufacturing of like the physical stuff that's going to be included in the day one edition.
And so, I mean, you know, I mean, it was good on them for, you know, just delaying the whole thing, you know?
Oh, there's time content for PS4 as well.
Well, I don't really care about that kind of stuff.
But it does, like, it's probably something I would probably, like, Xbox One version would probably be the best, or Xbox One X version will be.
I'm definitely planning to get it for Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't, then what did I even get an Xbox One X for, you know? I mean...
Right, yeah. It was November 6th, but then they announced, I think it was on Tuesday, they announced that they had to push it back to December 6th. I know, I was sad too, but you know what? We've waited long enough. Like, I think that... The Monster Boy is probably my most anticipated game of the year at this point. I'm very, very excited.
Oh, interesting.
And you can expect a gigantic video about it and one of our favorite series, the Wonder Boy series, and all the other interesting games that have been spawned out of Wonder Boy.
How am I supposed to...
Yeah, can you shoot it?
This is an interesting thing. I'm not. Oh, do I shoot?
Oh, that's cool.
The lantern down, maybe.
Don't use the gunpowder there.
What?
That's what Shogun Jin is like. Don't use the gunpowder there.
Really? Why not? I mean, I'm supposed to bust her out of jail. It's one of my objectives.
I mean, Spyro Reignited Trilogy. I mean, I still haven't even bought the Crash Insane Trilogy. So.
Yeah, feels like the place to use the gunpowder.
Use it from the outside really? Side of herself.
Ah.
Use the gunpowder on the back of the book.
Will it kill her, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, Blade Lord is like more, much more than Dynasty, just Dynasty Hero. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff. Thoughts about Mega Man 11. I finished Mega Man 11 last night. I thought it was pretty good. It was nice that, you know, it's nice finally playing a mainline Mega Man game where they like, it's like updated. It's not like just like a throwback anymore. It's just, all right, we're just gonna like make this as close like the old games, but like we're gonna modernize it. I mean, generally, I thought it was pretty good. It was very difficult. I did have to bump it down to casual, which is not the easiest mode. There's it's the one that's like for people like have played Mega Man but haven't played it for a long time. But I mean, it's cool. I think it's cool because they've. I mean, I think that if they do a Mega Man 12, it's going to be really awesome. Like, they had to kind of get a lot of the parts in place to redo this or to get it going again.
Wow, she's really short. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, just on normal difficulty level, it's pretty tough. But, I mean, I...
Did they call one of the modes difficult?
They might, actually. How can you have a Mega Man X9 when the X series ended at 5?
I don't know if I would even give 5 that honor.
Superhero is the hardest difficulty level, but I think there is one above like the normal difficulty level that is before Superhero. It opened the door in the main path when you rescued her.
Huh?
That's what the chat is saying. It opened a door in the main path when you rescued her.
I mean, there was a cutscene. I didn't see where it was, though. Oh, here we go. I thought I was supposed to follow her, but I guess not.
But I mean, I thought it was pretty good. The music really grew on me, especially music on Bounce Man stage. I was kind of surprised that the Wily Castle wasn't as long as I was expecting. But it was kind of nice that there wasn't like a fake out castle and then a real Wily Castle. Yeah, I did like how the Robot Masters, how they almost kind of felt like Treasure-esque, where there was, you just don't repeat the pattern over and over again. You know, there's different stages to the fight. Yeah, I mean, the music was decent. I mean, it would have been really cool if it had a chiptune version as like a bonus chiptune version of the music.
Kind of like how DuckTales are mastercasts.
Yeah. But it was cool. I think that the weapons were pretty unique.
I like how they Mega Man's whole look changes.
Yes. That's very cool. And you know, a lot of the weapons, they're not just like shoot and they do one thing. You can kind of aim some of them and stuff like that. It's kind of nice. And they all have powered up modes for when you're using the power gear. Check my Twitter notifications or my personal Twitter notifications.
How can there be no ammunition in the ammunition store?
The comprehensive Wonder Boy and Monster World series. There's some good stuff in here, but it might not be. It might be missing some stuff. Like this has like remakes, but there's also. Okay, it does have. Yes. Okay. So this is correct. Yes. Is this something that you made, or is this somebody else? Because we have all the stuff written down for sure, like stuff we're gonna cover, like everything in here. Did you make this, or was this from someplace else? Oh, nice. Yeah. There's. Like the one that always like amazes me and is Wampa. Like it's like a weird, you know, just the fact that exists as part of this series is crazy. Thank you for this. I'm going to save this and consult it, because I mean I have all this stuff written down. Like I think, actually, like I didn't think about the Adventure Island that came out on the Wii. If this is on here. Wait, except for okay, the mobile phone version. Oh, interesting. So I did not know about that.
Didn't know about what?
That there's a Super Adventure Island that came out on mobile phones, but it's a version of Monster Land, but it's an Adventure Island game and features Master Takahashi. But it also shares its name with a completely different Adventure Island game for the SNES. The most cursed thing on this chart, and this was a mistake.
I feel like I knew there was something.
So it's like a remake of Monster Land, in a way, or it's like a... Interesting. That's one thing. That's cool. So I take it that you're a big, big fan of the series. If there's certain things you think that you think should be included, or if you like have some like little anecdotes or specific knowledge about things, please feel free to message, DM, or whatever. I mean, as you know, we're big Monster World fans.
But we may not know everything. We want to know.
I mean, the thing that we have, the list that we have, like, has everything on it except for this mobile phone game. But if you have the mobile phone game, and could capture footage, that might be huge.
I mean, there's probably, okay, probably ways to get access to it.
Says I'm just not a huge fan of the series. Just got into it last year. I just like researching things, I guess.
It's a definitely a thing to research. That's
there's so very much this actually this is very good because I can give you this flow chart and you can build the scene that I really want to include that I've like dreamed of including in this video for years. You can base it off of it. And we're happy to credit you for all of this. Sheepy Tina, thank you. So this is great. There's one specific scene that I wanted to do in related to this game series. Gosh, for like 4 years at this point.
Whoa! Oh!
Whoa!
Oops.
Sony did not release the Boomerang controller for PS3, but there is a Boomerang controller for the N64 that I only know of its existence thanks to this old console who is in the chat. Hopefully he's still in the chat. Oh, there he is. Yes. Should I go get the Boomerang controller? Should I get the Boomerang controller and show the chat?
Sure.
Okay, hang on. This is the Boomerang 64. Look at that thing.
I feel like even you would love the N64 controller in comparison to that.
Yes. The Boomerang 64. I don't know who made it. The battery, it does require batteries.
Really? For what? For
I don't know. Maybe, but there is a Rumble Pack input on it.
You know what's funny is a lot of people responded to the controller docks and stands episode because I mentioned just using lithium batteries for the N64 Rumble Pack, and they're like, people are just like in shock and disbelief that I don't have the batteryless mod for the Rumble Pack. And like, first of all, I did not know that was a thing. But second of all, it doesn't really seem like that big of a deal to not have it, or whatever.
Well, I can't believe that you do not have the Boomerang 64.
I know. a split. Well, I think that next level is Harry Tipper. Looks like this is the fourth to last level.
Adam Smasher. I'm excited to see who Harry Tipper is.
I don't know if he'll have a voice in this, but in Time Splitters Future Perfect, he's very much, hey man.
he's like a stoner or what?
Well, I mean, he's just like a stereotypical hippie.
Okay.
He's just like, gee, I don't know, man.
Wake up, Mr. Tipper. It seems you're my guest once again.
Yes, the Mad Cat's fight or flight stick is also in there for the N64. It's in the box.
I thought this had your stench all over it, Kalos.
I'm pleased you still have your.
He's got a different voice in this than Future Perfect.
Let's cut to the chase. Just give me the crystals, and maybe I'll go easy on you.
You are in no position to bargain. They will be staying.
That's a pretty thick.
Has anyone ever told you? You have a screw loose?
Yes, but in 2 minutes, I will still be in one piece. Unlike
is that a shirt or is it just his hairy chest?
Probably his hairy chest, I would guess.
Hey, can we talk about this? Hope you still got the guarantee, Kalos.
Yeah, his voice is totally different. Oh man, we got a short time limit here.
Oh, you're playing as him.
Yeah.
It's like Quantum Leap, like you jump in the bodies of these people.
Yeah, like the first level is the only one that kind of explains it, but.
Did you watch Quantum Leap or are you too young to watch Quantum Leap?
I mean, I didn't really watch a lot of TV anyway, so.
Did you ever watch Quantum Leap?
No.
So have you ever seen the movie Little Monsters? Are you familiar with the movie Little Monsters?
I don't think so.
Like it's got Fred Savage in it. It's about this kid and there's a monster comes out from under his bed and he becomes friends with it. And it's a pretty good kids movie, but I like watched it with my kids yesterday and it's like
bomb detonation.
It's like very like scary.
Huh.
There's this one part where this like the main bad guy gets like his face melted off and my son was loving it, but Arya was like hiding her face and like couldn't watch it. Yep, it's got Fred Savage, Howie Mandel, and also has. I thought it was interesting that Fred Savage's dad in that movie is Daniel Stern, who was the narrator for The Wonder Years. It's just kind of funny that they put him. And also, his little brother is also in it. Fred Savage, his little brother. Plays his little brother. But it is, it's got some, like, pretty horrifying parts to it. Yep, Daniel's friend. He also is Marv from Home Alone.
That's what I think of him from.
Are we going to stream Mega Man tomorrow afternoon? Probably won't be streaming tomorrow afternoon, especially my daughter is on like fall break or whatever, so she's home from school tomorrow anyways. I don't know how that would go.
Oh, have I supposed to have been using the scientists all along to detonate the bombs? I'm probably screwed now. I guess maybe when all the enemies are gone. Detonation in T-10 seconds.
And Tri is going to be editing all day because he is going on a freelance job for the next several days after that. It would be like... The idea, I believe, going forward, I'm not sure if it's going to happen this week because of his freelance schedule, but the idea going forward is going to be, there's going to be new episodes every other Saturday at 11 a.m. That's when we're aiming.
That's the idea.
For our release date and time is going to be. And we are making a commitment to do some sort of Patreon content the weeks in between those on Wednesday. Like Wednesday is around one. That can be like kind of anything. It might be like blog posts. It might be just kind of like a short like vlog video of like, hey, this is what I'm playing. You know, this game's kind of cool. But like we're kind of making a commitment to do that. To really get more content on our Patreon. We have a lot of cool stuff on there. I think it'll be just nice to get some regular stuff coming out of there, like fun, like kind of lower effort stuff, but just kind of like, hey.
Oh, that gave me a ton of
fun. In a way, like for me, you know, like I would like to do something where I can practice just talking in front of the camera without like pausing and thinking about what I'm saying, but just more just getting better at it, I guess, and quicker. So that's kind of the idea. If you kind of look through our videos, you'll notice that we've been updating our thumbnails as well. It's kind of, we've been removing the specific show types of stuff. So no more showcases. They won't be called that anymore. So it's just going to be like those, anything that's not like a documentary, a specific documentary style, or RGB is just going to be, it's just going to be a general, like, it's just an episode of My Life in Game. It can be tech, it can be anything that we kind of, like, want to do. Just kind of simplifying a lot of that stuff. Like, even some of the documentary projects that we're working on will be just, like, episodes of My Life in Gaming. It'll be kind of like, they're not going to have, like, their own credits or anything like that. They'll have, you know, if it's just, like, a profile on somebody or something like that, where it just like makes sense. Kind of like when you think about like the Rand Miller episode or the HD Retrovision, where they're like episodes of the show, but they're kind of like documentary-esque. And,
bomb detonation in
what else?
-3 minutes.
We're setting aside an hour every Monday to each complete one episode of the episode notes, where we kind of like list every single episode, every single game showed in an episode, like in the order of appearance and by segment and stuff like that. So we'll be doing that. So that's going to take a long time to do, but if we do, like, you know, between the two of us, if we do two a week, you know, we'll be able to do it. The Rand Miller one, you should go back. It's pretty awesome.
It's like our first time like talking to a game developer. Basically.
Yeah, it came out great, and I would love to see stuff like that way more often. I mean, we have a lot of stuff that's shot like that. Like I feel like you know, the Tom Dubois episode will be like that. We shot something in New York City that will very much be like that. Where they're episodes of the show, but they're just kind of. In my opinion, it kind of goes into the original vision that I was kind of seeing for the channel when we first started. It's like very much like a episode of This American Life, where it's like a story or a profile about a certain event or person or topic. So I'm pretty excited about that. So it's like been a lot of streamlining, you know, like as we are like full time now, although you're going like on a freelance project that has nothing to do with it. We are full time, so we're just like trying to optimize the channel. And in a lot of ways, you know, like I've been kind of going back and making new thumbnails and retitling some of the earlier episodes, and in a way to maybe give those like a new life. Like maybe something like that will click in the algorithm. Probably not, but you never know.
I mean, hey, there have been new comments on Kiwi Grays.
But I think if there's an episode out every other Saturday, like that's definitely doable. I mean, that's, and you know, maybe more often than that, if there's something that's like time sensitive, that has to like release like when a new game is coming out like that day or something like that. Like maybe if we're far enough ahead, that will be an addition.
Mm-hmm. Bomb detonation in T minus 3 minutes.
But I mean, between the two of us, you know, we should be able to do this schedule. I've been working on the documentary that's going to be is for something that we hasn't even been announced yet. For the thing that we went to Japan, so that's kind of separate right now. That has to take, you know, priority for me, like for my part. Although I have a lot of episodes that I'm excited to do, I'm feeling very excited and motivated to work on them. But I got to get this other thing done first. So I think things are going to get a lot more in depth, a lot more regular. And a lot more just interesting overall. Like, I mean, I think that this, you know, like what is your title for this? What was the name that you wanted to call this Perfect Dark Zero episode?
I kind of want to call it like, I mean, Rare After Nintendo will be in the title. But I kind of want it to be something like, you know, Perfect Dark Zero and the Legacy of Goldeneye.
Right.
-4 minutes.
So, I mean...
Which, I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm really the right person to be talking about the full Legacy of Goldeneye, because I'm not, like, a huge first-person shooter guy, but Goldeneye...
just in how it relates to Perfect Dark Zero.
Right, and these specific games. But because Goldeneye was, like, this style of first-person shooter was all I was interested in for a long time.
We have a really friendly style. Almost like a nice teacher. Thank you.
Uh-oh. I didn't get all the fires out.
Bomb detonation in T-3.
Seffy says you should call the video Perfect Dark Zero is super bad.
I mean... I don't know... I say it in the video. I can't bring myself to say it's bad. It's not, but I will say it is not good.
Yeah.
It is not good. Bad? I don't know. Good? No.
I mean, I don't think we would cover like any of the speed running stuff. Like that's just, like, I mean, there's like the history that Tri is going to cover. I mean, it's mainly about Perfect Dark Zero, like how this stuff relates to Perfect Dark Zero. Not so much like the history of like Goldeneye, and like it's obviously it's not going to cover like the mods and stuff that have come out for Goldeneye. Like on,
yeah, I mean it's really about what Goldeneye meant at the time, or more specifically, I guess what it meant to me, and what you know, the games that's directly spawned off of it. So I mean, obviously it had a wide-ranging influence, but what's this elevator? You know, I'm going to talk specifically about the games that directly spawned off of it. So Perfect Dark Zero and Time Splitters games. And, you know, I spend just a couple minutes talking about each one in general.
But this stuff but adds
then Perfect like, Dark Zero is pretty long. Fast sections. I mean, it's half the video. But it's funny, yeah. The video that's intended to be about Perfect Dark really is, you know, Perfect Dark section is pretty short. Oh, I just realized the bombs are all gone. That's good.
I think it's more interesting to talk about like a lot of stuff in a video than just like one thing really, really extensively. And it's just like it's easier for me to write stuff like that too. Where I don't feel like I need to just kind of go on just for length sake. But I mean, I look at some of the old videos and I think like, oh man, I wish I had talked about this aspect of it instead of just like throwing two sentences in about it.
Well, and that's why, you know, it's good that I realized later that I needed to give like Time Splitters, especially Time Splitters 2, more due than I originally envisioned.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited about the stuff that we have in store. Just the way we're gonna do stuff, and hopefully everyone else will like it too, and we'll resonate.
After 11 now, finish that level. That gives me access to a lot of levels I can just record.
How many are left?
Well, including the next one, 3 levels, but there's only 2 levels, Robot Factory and Space Station, that I won't have access to for the video. But I'll just record, like, a clip each of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 levels, and that'll give me, you know, that'll give me a good extra variety of showing the video. So, the video is better because of the time spent on this stream. All right. Whew.
So, probably no midweek stream. Although, you know, it might happen. It could happen.
It'll be trialless,
but...
That's the point of those streams. It could be just one of us.
Yeah, or like John would definitely do it.
Maybe.
I think it'd hang out, depending on what I was going to play.
So, you know, this video, I mean, the idea initially was like, I maybe wouldn't have chosen this video topic if I realized it was going to get as involved. Yeah, I thought I was just going to be making a... Obviously, I expected to talk about the stuff that led up to it, but I didn't expect that to take 11 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, the previous Rare After Nintendo videos have been like no more than like 12 minutes, maybe. I think the longest was Cameo, and it was about 12 minutes. So I did not expect it to be a long video. So I probably would have chosen a different topic had I realized it was going to get this involved. It should be super easy to edit. But I'm pretty early in the editing stages, and all the time I'm going to have left to work on is, like, you know, maybe just a teeny bit before bed and, you know, during the day tomorrow. And that's it, really. So unless there's just like some miracle of editing that happens tomorrow, it's not going to be ready to release next Saturday at 11. So it'll probably just release like early the week after next. I wish it wasn't going to be that kind of gap between episodes, but I feel like it's going to be the last gap like that unless unexpected travel comes up soon. Because we're going to be moving forward on this stuff pretty easy, I think. I mean, you know, it's not been too bad jumping into this. You know, even not so long after doing that crazy Switch episode, and that went down real fast.
Right.
So I'm feeling, you know, it wouldn't be this tough situation right now if I wasn't going to be gone most of next week. But I think going forward, it's going to be easy to pace ourselves better. I've been, you know, working all day on this episode for the past several days, you know, just writing the script. I mean, that phase took longer and stuff. But the idea going forward is that we're going to pace ourselves a lot better. You know, we're just going to get stuff done, you know, during the day, allot ourselves free time at the end of the day, you know, mm-hmm. take things a lot easier in general.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, increase output, because I think we're just going to be more efficient with this kind of workflow. But I think so.
I'm excited. I am too.
I'm feeling optimistic. I just worked myself into a hole with this episode because I thought something that would be half the length it is. I thought right. that's what I was working on. And, you know, it took, you know, two or three times as long to write the script and stuff. So,
but it's good. I mean, I think it's great that it's...
People are going to like it, I think. People might... I hope people who would be interested in it would watch it, even though it says Perfect Dark Zero in the title. You know, I think there's going to be a lot more interest to it than...
Yeah, well, if you throw Goldeneye in there.
Yeah, people will watch
it. It probably helps. It.
But man, Time Splitters 2, like, great game. Like, I played through it back in the day, but I had no idea how much I should have appreciated what this was. It's really that has been my favorite thing about this episode, is rediscovering how good this game is. Like, it's
right.
It's, you know, it's GoldenEye with like really good dual stick controls and 60 frames per second. Like, that's great. All right, well, will that do it?
It's gonna do it. Thanks for the donations tonight, yes. Everybody, and thanks for hanging out for the long haul. I mean, we had quite a few people watching tonight.
Oh, really? Is Time Splitters 2 a crowd pleaser?
Yeah, it's like up there, like around 300.
Wow, nice. Well, I'll have to get a situation. I'll have to get some sort of monitor over here so I can see. See what's going on in the stream while I'm using the PVMs, but you know, work in progress.
All right,
let me do my dramatic turnaround. Goodbye.
Is it gonna work?
I dropped my trackball.
You turned around the face the wrong way.